Blog Talk Radio.
Some of you may call me by my slave name, Ron Killebrew, but my ethnic name, according to the Hebrew Israelites, is Yom Suf Arif. It means the righteous line of the Most High, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And another one of the executive producers of this show is Cartrell, my brother and friend from New York City. You see, in this show, we understand that you need devotion. But we understand, just like any young kung fu student, you must study techniques. You must study fundamentals. You must study everything about your skill set in order to become masters. Yes, in this show, we teach you how to become masters. Although Cartrell and I have been studying techniques, fundamentals, and so on and so forth for quite a long time, maybe we have got a semi-master status, but even that being said, the study doesn't stop till the casket drops. We found out in our studies that our kings and our Levitical priests and our nation studied every day. They didn't neglect their studies every day. That's why King Dawood was a great king, because of his study of fundamentals and techniques. King Solomon, his son, same, unlike us. See, we want to become masters, but we don't want to study. Ridiculous, now isn't it? You see, on the Real Talk for Real People show, we give you a bird's eye view in your lessons. A bird's eye view to give you the who, what, when, where, and or how. Who can do it, where you can do it, how you can do it, and why you should do it. The who, what, when, and when, where, and how. See, a lot of us, because we lack technique and fundamentals, we think we could just get out there and fight a master. And you know what? You can get out there, but you're going to get the hell knocked out of you. That's why you need these studies. See, you are being rather presumptuous to think, oh, I can become a master. I can go out there and fight the master. No, you're going to go out and get the hell knocked out of you. That's what's going to happen to you. See, that's why you need your studies every day, just like Cartrell and I do. And we take these studies quite seriously. And once we've taken these studies, we practice these studies. What I mean by practice, we apply these studies. Unlike some of you. That's why you find yourself in a world war. You see, Cartrell and I, we found by virtue of our studies that these studies are very essential to your fundamental skills. Y'all will gather us together. That is a certainty. But will you have the fundamental skills? Will you have your studies in place? Will you know the who, when, where, and or how? That is the question. And I like to believe that's the reason why you tuned into the Real Talk for Real People show. You see, the Real Talk for Real People show is just not a show that's broadcast nationally. It is broadcast internationally. Because our nation is scattered internationally. And that's why people subscribe to the show. Because they know Cartrell and I, we are dedicated to the Almighty, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and we're dedicated to fundamental studies. That's what the Real Talk for Real People show is about, fundamental studies, applying oneself, becoming masters in those studies. You see, I talked to, let's talk about a contemporary subject matter right quick before we get started in our studies. I talked to one of my dear nephews yesterday, and he was talking about witchcraft and sorcery. And I expressed to him, in this country we call Babylon, which it is, there's many witchcraft and sorceries that apply it here. You can see it in case in point of what's going on in the so-called capital. These congressmen, senators, and whatnot, put a man on trial. They have no intention whatsoever to get any just verdict because there is no justice in the daughter of Babylon. And there's a whole lot of witchcraft and sorcery going on in this country. Be assured of that fact. Because therein lies their strength. And their confusion, universal white race supremacy, witchcraft and sorcery, you name it, I'll call it. They got to have all these things in play and working together in unison in order to control you. That's why some of us stay totally confused about everything, because we know little about anything, especially in virtue of ourselves. The less you know about yourself and who you are and what you are and who you should be dedicated and humble to and devoted to, the less you are to fight off, to ward off these sorcerers and universal white race supremacy. And you're left totally at their mercy. And you're totally confused about everything also. You're wondering what the hell's going on. But under Yah and its auspices, being a servant of the Most High, you don't have to wonder what the hell is going on, because of the fact you're taught by Yah. And you know what's going on. And you immerse yourself in your studies. You're not confused. You don't have fear and dread. You have hope and confidence. That's why these studies are exhilarating and informational. It should be, when you know who you are, what you are, and what you should be doing. Well, we're going to get started in our studies. If you got a map, well, we call the Torah. Some of you call it the Bible, but we call it the map. We in the book of Devarim. Devarim. You know, that's the Hebrew name for Deuteronomy. If it did, Cartrell taught me the correct pronunciation and chapter 20. So get your maps out, go to Deuteronomy. But the real name for that book is Devarim. Devarim, Devarim, Devarim. I'm getting it. But before we get started in our studies, let me bring my brother and friend on from New York City, my elder, my fellow elder, Cartrell. May the Most High bless you, brother. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
All praise to the Holy One of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Shalom, family. May the Most High bless you. Shalom, Brother Yamsu Fari. May the Most High bless you.
May he bless you too, brother. I love you, bro. Stay up.
Love you too, Ah. Thank you. Appreciate it. But I don't think we in chapter 20.
Abby, y'all don't know who I'm calling, but Katri, I know who I'm calling. Sister Abby Yah is from New York City. And when we get off sometimes, she gives us an update of where we at. Sister Abby Yah, will you text me and give me an update, please? May the Most High bless you. Where we at in Cartrell Prophets, right? And give me an update before we get started. Cartrell, I'm finna make some commentaries while you're giving me the update, the location. Go ahead, Cartrell.
Well, we know it can't be chapter 20 because we always start off on an odd number.
Okay, you're right. So. I'm not, bro. You think I'm arguing with you? You know my finger broke.
Yeah. And I know that you're a diligent student, so you be racing ahead. So I know you don't know where you at because you be racing ahead.
You ain't lying. I'm so far ahead of our fellow students of Cartrell that sometimes, you know, I put my marker back in and I put the marker in wrong. And when I think I'm at 20, in actuality, I'm at 21. So I didn't misplace my marker because I'm way ahead of us. And the
You're
book of
actually at 17.
Hold on. I think we're far ahead in that country. Abby Yah, any day now. Thank you. She says, I'm on 19 and 21, chapter 19 and 21 today, Cartrell. And you're on chapter, she even got you straight. In your study session, she got you straight.
141.
That was bad, Cartrell. Thank you, Abby.
I know where I'm at.
Yeah, I didn't know where the hell I was. Thank you, Abby. May the Most High bless you. I tell you what, it's good to have sisters that are devoted to y'all and that keeps you on point. So we love you, Abby Yah. May the Most High bless you, and thank you very much. And Cartrell.
So for all those brothers that's out there that don't respect our sisters, we want all our sisters out there to know we respect y'all.
And we didn't have the Abby Yahs of the world, Cartrell. Where would we be? Go ahead.
Lost souls, brother. Lost souls.
Thank you, Abby Yah. May the Most High bless you, sister. Kadria, what's your commentary on what I've just spoke about before we get started in our studies, brother?
Well, I didn't glean too much of what you said.
Right.
But I know that the daughter of Babylon is falling. We're in that fourth kingdom.
Right.
We're at the end of the 400-year period. And like I told my son, the Most High's word is so accurate.
Exactly.
He said after 400 years, he would judge the nation, and we can see that this nation is very much in confusion.
Total
very
confusion.
Very much in division. Very much on the brink of civil war.
Exactly. Exactly.
So we know that Yah's word is true. Yah's word is accurate. We, as a people, his nation, his servants, need to learn how to align ourselves with him and not the other nation.
Exactly.
Because that's our major problem.
That's our problem. Trying to
we
be
try
like
to fit in.
Well, we'll never fit in. We weren't designed to fit in. And so we'll never fit in with other nations. We'll be servants to them because of our disobedience to Yah. But the only way we would take our leadership role is following after Yah and his instructions. But trying to get in, to fit in, you're going to always be a subservient to these nations and whatever gods they worship and witchcraft and sorcery they're into. So I wouldn't subscribe to be falling behind them and following their example. You need to be the example. We dropped the ball. That's why we're in the situation we're in, universally speaking. So we need to learn to pick up the ball, unite with one another, turn to Yah, and get our act together. So other nations can follow after us, and we can be a fitting example to the God that we should be servants to. Go ahead, Contrail.
The funny thing, Yamsu, is that they follow us anyway, and we're not following the Most High. They follow the way we talk, the way we dress, the way we sing, the way we dance. But they don't follow the way we follow the Most High, Yah, because we're not following him.
That's
but
the
Most
point.
High
bingo.
Said,
bingo, Contrail. Bingo, you won the golden bear today. I mean, the first start off in our first study session, you done already won a prize, brother. Okay? That's the problem. We need to pick up the ball and get back on the field and get on the field the way the playmaker made the game. Stop trying to make plays and get on the field and make the play the way the playmaker wants you to make the play. That's the problem. Go ahead, Cadrell.
And the thing is, John, too, the Most High made us. We didn't make ourselves.
Exactly.
And the fact that the Most High made us to be a blessing to all the nations that are upon the earth, we've done that. But we haven't blessed ourselves.
Exactly. Well, see,
we have not blessed ourselves. We bless everybody on the earth except ourselves. We're still on the bottom.
Well, Cartier,
and the question is, when are we going to love each other in order to bless ourselves?
When we respect who the team owner is, Cartrell. We not the team owner. Stop acting like you the team owner. You not the team owner. A player knows he's just a player. Play your part. Stop trying to own the team. That's the problem, Cartrell.
And we got a beef and a problem with the team owner because we think somebody else owned us.
That's the problem. We playing for other team owners. Get back with the team. That's all y'all need to get back with the team. All right,
you're trying to help other teams, and other teams are trying to smash you, but you're trying to help them.
And they don't even want you on that team. They don't even want you on that team. So get back. And that's why we said, Yah will gather us together. We need to be gathered together. And even in you need to study your playbooks. See, some of you want to get on the field and you don't even know the playbook. You won't open up the playbook. The playbook should be part of your lifelong pursuit. You should go to sleep with your playbook. You should get up in the morning eating with your playbook. You should walk with your playbook. You should talk with your playbook. Your playbook should become an innate part of your nature. That's part of your problem. That's why you don't know how to play the game. That's why you get played on. But you're here today. That's a good thing. Now you finna learn the playbook. Contrail, you ready, my brother? You got the playbook?
Well, I'm going to tell you why it's so important. Because people are out there trying to kill us, and we don't know what's going on.
And try to put all kind of hoodoo, whim-whams, and winks on you. If you don't know their playbook, you don't know how to protect yourself for nothing. They know their playbook. They know witchcraft and sorcery. They know chaos and confusion. They know Babylon. Their daughter, they know the daughter of Babylon. They down with their team. They can put hanky pank on you. But if you don't know who your team owner is, what your playbook is, how to make the plays, you're going to be totally confused about everything. And that's why we're glad you're here today, because we finna immerse you in the playbook starting today. Cartrell, fellow students, get your playbooks out. Let's get started. Chapter 19, somebody call it Deuteronomy, but we call it, but his real name is Death. But you know what, Cartrell? You know, as you said, I'm farther along in our studies as of today. And one of the chapters, it was talking about how we're supposed to bring the first fruit to Yah. And here's the prayer you must say. I know I'm getting ahead of myself, students, that I was a fugitive from Armenia. And I looked up what the ancient Armenians looked like. Guess what, Cartrell?
They look like me.
Ooh-wee. Man, that's why studies and studying your playbook will have you less confused about everything. Got to study the playbook. All right, Cartrell, fellow students, chapter 19. Let's get started. May the Most High bless us.
Yeah, too.
Yeah, go ahead, Cartrell.
You know the beauty of Yah?
What's that, my friend?
That he would have them to be archaeologists to bring up ancient past to show who the ancient people were.
Exactly.
Which is why you know who the ancient Armenians are.
Yeah.
But the fact that they won't tell the public that, they'll keep it undercover unless you're looking for it. Right? If you're looking for it, you ain't going to find it.
Cartrell, why did you think...
Because they ain't trying to announce it.
Cartrell, fellow students, why did you think ISIS went over into Babylon destroying images in Babylon? You know why? Let me tell you why. The images that they destroyed look like you and me. The ancient Babylonians was not, they didn't look like white people, like Yul Brynner. What is that other actor?
Charlton
Heston. They look like you and me. You know, that's why the reason why the ancient king married Queen Esther, because she looked like him, although she was a Hebrew Israelite. That's why he ended up marrying her. She was a beautiful woman. That's why Mordecai was in his courtship, because he looked like them and they looked like him. He was a Hebrew Israelite. And what does a Hebrew Israelite look like? And some of you say, well, I don't know. Well, if you study your history, you study your playbook, you'll find out what they look like. They look like you and me. Okay? And what did Egyptians look like? I don't know. The white man, but that's your problem. You're talking about what the white man told you? What are you studying for yourself? They look like you and me. That's why Joseph could be there, and his brothers who sold him into captivity didn't know who he was 20 years later because of the fact they thought he was an Egyptian. And the Egyptians at that time looked like you and me. See, the people that are in lands now were not the original people in those lands. People left by virtue of captivities, shipped off by virtue of wars, died off by virtue of drought, and so on and so forth. And so you would suspect all the Egyptians look like those people over there. Yeah, no, they didn't look like those people over there. The Egyptians, if you study their pictures in their tombs and whatnot, you'll see what they look like. And if you want to know what the Hebrew Israelite looked like, you'll see what they look like. They didn't look like Yul Brynner and no Charlton Heston. They look like you and me. So that's why Joseph could hide out or really be sold out. And 20 years later, when his brother went there because of a drought in their land to buy food in Egypt, and then they had sold him to the Egyptians, And 20 years later, he had become successful. And the second in command in Mizraim, we call Egypt, but the real name is Mizraim. And he had become second in command 20 years later. They didn't know who he was. They just thought he was another Mizraim. They thought he was an Egyptian. Because they looked alike. They looked like Hebrew Israelites. So they couldn't tell who he was. And so they bowed down to him as a Mizraim. And we're not to mistreat the Egyptians like some people tell you, but you'll find that out in our studies. You'll find out, oh, we're going to mistreat you. We're going to mistreat you like the Mizraims treat us. You're going to find out in these studies, brothers and sisters, because of these extensive bird's eye view studies, that you're not supposed to even mistreat the Mizraims, the Edomites. Some people say, oh, we're supposed to mistreat. No, you don't supposed to. That's why these studies are essential to you. That's why you should go to bed with these studies, eat with these studies, wake with these studies, and they should become an innate part of your nature to know who you are. These are your constitutions. This is your constitution. This you should be gleaning all information from. This should become an innate part of your nature, second nature to you, because therein lies all your answers. Because you're looking for answers outside of this. You're confused. You're in dread. You're in fear. People coming at you from all ends. They're playing all kind of games with you. You ain't got to worry about it if you know your playbook. And that's why we do these studies, brothers and sisters. You have to know your playbook in order to counter plays, in order to execute your own play. Let's get started. You know, I get long-winded. I'm sorry, Cartier. You know, you can't light a fire with me, and I don't get started. Let's get started. And I do apologize, fellow students. Let's get started.
Well, don't let me make a comment, because I'm going to set you off again.
Well, now you know why my name is Yom Suf Arif. The righteous line of the righteous line of the Most High, Yah, who roars by the sea of reeds.
Because everything you said is true. They have their playbook. And we have ours. These senators and congressmen and president and Democratic and Republican officials, they walk around with a constitution in their pocket.
In their pocket. They live
we,
by it.
We, on the other hand, should be walking around with the Tanakh as our constitution because that's what it is.
Exactly.
And that our constitution does not match up with their constitution.
Exactly. Bingo.
We have to follow what Yah has commanded and created us to do.
Bingo, Katria. You done run
because
three goals.
As long as we following other nations, which the Most High told us not to do,
and
we
totally
are not going to be at our full strength. We are not going to get our full blessing. We're not going to know who we are. And we will leave no inheritance, history, knowledge of ourselves to our children.
Exactly.
And we're supposed to pass this knowledge down to them.
Exactly.
That's why the Most High told the king, you have to study my word. What do you say? What do you say, The king got to study his word what?
All your life, lifelong.
And what?
Every day of your life. Every day it's your king to study his word every day of your life. You know better
every
than your
king. Day.
You
the
got
king
to study the
of
playbook
Israel
every day.
Has to study and read what Yah has to say for all his life every day.
Yeah, so
that's the obligation of the king.
Right.
How much more so the people?
Exactly.
Because we need to keep the king in check, right?
Exactly. Yeah, but if you can't keep the king in check if you don't know, how can you check the king when you don't know? You ain't studying. The king ain't studying. Everybody's stuck on stupid. That's why you need to be studying right along with your king. And see, here's the deal, brothers and sisters. In our nation, we don't have the senators and republicans. You know what we have in our nation? The nation of Israel. Here's how our system, our governmental system is set up. And man, we like educating people. Here's how our governmental system is set up. Here in the first line of defense, we have the elders in the community. You go to them first. Secondly, then you have the Levitical priest. Then you have the high priest. They are Levites. Then you have the prince of your each tribe. Each tribe have princesses. Of each 12 tribes has a prince. Then you have a king. And that king must be immersed in the word of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He is to study Yah's word every day. So everybody is interwoven together. Each of us is a piece of us. And one can't do without the other. It's just that simple. But unfortunately,
you forgot one part, Yamsu.
Go ahead, Cottrell.
The prophet.
Oh, the prophet, yeah. Yeah, he throw in a prophet, too. A prophet of the Most High. There's always a prophet.
Somebody like Moses.
Something like Moses. Samuel. Samuel, Isaiah, Jeremiah.
Zechariah, Micah, Malachi,
right.
Nahum, Hosea, Habakkuk.
Now you know. Now, you know, a fellow from New York City, just like you, Cartrell, did you know what he said? If you don't know, now you know. Right. Let's get started.
Well, I ain't going to pump up New York City too tough because Donald J. Trump is from New York City.
Y'all can have him too. All right, let's get started.
We don't want him. We don't want him. He in Florida now.
Let's get started. May the Most High bless us, fellow students. And once he has blessed us by the study of his word, may we apply his word to our lives because therein lies our strength.
No doubt.
When Yah, your Elohim, has cut down nations whose land Yah, your Elohim, is assigning to you, and you have dispossessed them and settled in their towns and homes. That's when we first came into acquirement of our land in Israel. You should set aside three cities, reason being these were sanctuary cities for people that inadvertently murdered people by accident, not people that murdered. See, we didn't play that. Now, if you accidentally did something and inadvertently caused someone to lose their life, you could run to one of these three sanctuaries. It was six, but these were the first establishment of these cities. You could run to one of these cities and seek sanctuary in that city because you made a mistake. You didn't do this deliberately, premeditatedly. You could run to these cities.
Like a car accident.
Right, a car accident. Yeah, okay, let's use that, for hypothetically speaking. Say Yom Suf Arif was in a car accident, and Yom Suf inadvertently caused a car accident, and the whole family died in a car accident. Their family had a right to seek my life. They had a right, and I couldn't be mad at them. I mean, I inadvertently caused the death of our family, all of them. And so I inadvertently, because I was being irresponsible, whatever I was doing. And I called some cries, and the whole family in the car died. So that family could require of me blood, my blood. And so, okay, he killed our family. Well, we're going to send a binge at it, and going to take his life, life for life. That's the way it go. Here's what Yom Suf could do. Yom Suf could get on the good foot and hit to one of those sanctuary cities. And in those sanctuary cities, I would have sanctuary. And I would have to stay in that sanctuary city. The high priest at that time, our high priest at that time, passed. I had to stay there till that high priest passed. If I left out of that sanctuary city, that family could seek my life. And
even before that, you had to state your case. I didn't do this intentionally.
Yeah, you had to have an
accident.
Right. It would be a trial. There would be a trial, and they would make a determination if you could stay in that city. I could just run there and say, hey man, the family after me because they had to do a thorough investigation, turn over every leaf, and find out what really happened. And they found out I was in a car accident and a family died. You know, I wouldn't be walking around scot-free. I had to run to that sanctuary city. And if they would investigate it, and once the investigation ascertained that it truly was an accident and that family died, the avenger of that family couldn't take my life. But I would have to stay in that city until the high priest at that time passed on. And if he did pass on during my lifetime, I would have to stay there. But if that high priest passed on, well, then I have a right to go back to my family and my community without being avenged. And they couldn't avenge me. They couldn't take my life.
So,
yeah, go ahead.
Do you think that would bring about safe driving in the nation?
Yeah, you damn right. You wouldn't be able to cell phone or nothing. You'd be focused on the highway. You would make sure that you were doing everything that the law said, so you would prevent an accident. Okay?
You would be speeding or racing or doing nothing reckless.
Right. You would be reckless driving. You would be reckless eyeballing. You'd be focused on the road, so you would inadvertently have an accident that caused someone life. Okay? Because you know
the consequences. What's going to happen if you take somebody's life, even accidentally?
Well, I would have to run to a sanctuary city for sanctuary. I'd have to be in
there. How long would you have to stay there?
Probably all of my life. If that happened.
And who want to do that?
That's what I'm saying. So, yes, it did curtail a whole lot of nonsense. It made people more responsible. It made people responsible for their action. It made people take life seriously and take their part in the community seriously. Unlike we are now. People just be on the telephone. Women be putting on lipstick and everything.
No. Life is cheap.
Yeah, it's cheap.
You step on my toe, nigga,
yeah.
I'm going to shoot you.
Oh, yeah, all this
time. No, you're not. No.
That'd be a
you're
rap.
Not going to shoot me because I stepped in your toe and I'll
right.
land. Because if you shoot me and kill me, somebody in my family is coming to get you.
And ain't nothing you can do about it. And ain't nothing in our land that ain't nobody going to give you sanctuary. You can't run and hide on a grandma porch. You can't run and hide in the grandpa attic. Everybody knew their commitment, their interwovenness within the community. They knew their responsibility. Oh, no, little Joy, you can't stay here, boy. You can't hide under my front porch. You got to get on out of here.
You try to hide there, the avenger's going to find you.
Yep. Matter of fact, Grandpa is the one probably going to get the folks for you.
Okay? Nah, probably not. But
yeah.
That avenger's looking for your ass.
Yeah, and that's that on that. Because if you deliberately kill one of us, there is no recourse. There is no sanctuary city that you can run to. If you deliberately kill a brother or a sister in our land, there is no recourse. Yeah, they may have a trial, but if there's deliberately intent to take a Hebrew Israelite man or woman life, there is no sanctuary. There ain't no long prison term. There ain't no eating bun and cupcakes in prison. Okay? There's going to be some repercussions. What is that? Consequences and repercussions. And they're going to be immediate. Okay? So all that nonsense that we got going on in these other communities that we're spread out in, that brothers and sisters are killing each other for a whole lot of nonsense, that does not go on in the land that the Mohawk has described. And that's why we need to be trying to get back to that. See, we in this, and it ain't working for us. We need to get back to where we came from so we can get back to being the government of our own people, being interwoven and knowing the responsibility of our own people, being serious in that commitment to one another and our own people and our own land, because anywhere else ain't going to work for us. I don't care you live in high, I don't care you got a football career, I don't care you got a basketball career, I don't care. And then, you know, check this out. The funny thing about that country, I'm thinking about this for a minute. Let me tell you some of you brothers and sisters in the land that we are in captive of, the land we're spread it out in. Isn't it ironic that these people of other nations won't marry your broke ass if you ain't got no money? If they talk about, no, it ain't about money, it's about love. But if you didn't have the wealth they would even look at you two ways. But as soon as you get a football contract, a basketball contract, a singing contract, a movie star contract, oh, they're in love with you then. Isn't that ironic? But long as you the average Joe Blow on the community, the Hebrew Israelite brother or sister on the community, ain't got two nickels to rub together, they ain't got no love for you then. But you're going to
So, you only talking about the brothers.
Yeah.
Because everybody loves our women.
Oh, yeah.
And they ain't got to have no money.
No, they ain't got to have no money for them. Just take them up. They'll hit on our sisters. Them sisters ain't got it because they gorgeous. Hebrew Israelite women are gorgeous. You know what? I'm Lord and everybody else know it. Yeah, we just don't appreciate them, though, unfortunately.
They ain't got to be no superstar.
No.
Mm-mm. You don't need to be a superstar. No. Our women.
Yep. They're gorgeous.
Are the best in the world. They got the best bodies. They got the best voices. They got the best skin tone.
And they sure got a big booty and a smile, that's for sure.
And don't touch that.
I certainly don't. Let's go on, y'all, because we're lagging behind. Thank you, Contrail. We're lagging behind. And you should set aside these three cities we were talking about. And the land, what land? Our land that the Most High has subscribed to us is giving us possession. You should
Didn't
survey.
He tell us before? Is he repeating himself? Repetition? Over and over again, we read the same thing.
Well, here's the deal that we've always instructed fellow students. Repetition is good. Repetition is redundant. Repetition makes you become experts at what you need to be in. Anybody that knows that, if you were ever played football, you ever played basketball, you ever was in the military, and I played football, I've been in the military, and redundancy is the key to being an expert in what you need to be. If you're running a play, you need to run that play over and over again in practice. You need to run it. You need to run it in the playbook. You need to run it in practice. And so when you are on the field.
And so you have to think about it, right?
Exactly.
Because the coach is not going to give you the play one time. Run the play one time, and then you're going to go to the game because you ran the play one time.
Man,
that coach is going to make you run that play 500,000 times.
And over to, it becomes second nature to you.
Until you get sick of it.
But as soon as they call the play, you know what the quarterback is calling. And you execute that play. It's automatic.
You're not even thinking about it.
No, it's
You're not
automatic.
Even thinking about it.
And that's what we're getting at in these studies here. And that's how these studies should be to you. You're not even thinking about it because you know about it because you studied it. The redundancy and the repetitiveness, you know about it. And that's what we try to get at. He said, you should survey the distances and divide into three parts of the territory of the country that Yah, your Elohim, has allotted you, your land, so that any manslayer, accidentally, may have a place to flee to. You could be able to run into the city. Now, this
So, Yom Tov.
Yeah, go ahead.
Can we do that in captivity?
Can you run to a land of sanctuary in captivity?
Can we set aside these cities that y'all talking about in captivity?
I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. Try and see what happens. Because what's going to come
make New York
That ain't going to work. That ain't going to work. You ain't in your land. That ain't going to work. Because you're going to have all the marshals. You're going to have all the FBI, the CIA, and every kind of other alphabet surrounding that city. And you may go to jail for harboring a fugitive. No, you can't do that. You're not in your land. You're in the land of captivity. That means they make the rules. You go by the rules.
First of all, we don't even have Avengers in our family. Because you know that Avenging your family, he got to be a trained killer.
Right.
You can't just send anybody out there if somebody kills somebody in your family. You have to send a trained killer in your family out to be Avenger of Blood.
Yeah. In our land, one must be trained to be an Avenger. It could be me.
And who's trained? Every young man 20 years old and upward had to report to the military.
Right.
Every family had at least one young man in the family
that was
capable and able and trained to be the Avenger of Blood.
Of that family, of each family.
That's right.
And And that's the wonderful thing. We had things set up in our land. You didn't have to worry about too much. Just follow the plate. And it said, tried that, Yah. And it says, now this is the case of the manslayer who may flee there and live. Now, it's describing to you who is the person that can flee to one of these three cities and live. One who is killed unwittingly, not by design or intent, without having been an enemy in the past of that person. For instance, a man goes with his neighbor into a grove to cut. He's giving you an example. You go with your neighbor to a grove to cut wood, and his hand swings the axe to cut down a tree, and the axe head flies off the handle and strikes the other man so that he dies. That's an accident. That man can be able to flee to one of those cities and live. Otherwise, when the distance is great, the member of that family that you killed, the blood avenger, pursuing the manslayer in hot anger, may overtake him and kill him. He has that right. Yet, he did not incur the death penalty. Now, a manslayer could overtake that man and kill him. He wouldn't incur a death penalty because you just can't kill nobody just because you want to. Since he had never been the other's enemy. That's why I command you, set aside three cities in order for somebody to kill somebody accidentally, maybe able to flee to.
So Yamsu.
Go ahead.
Even if you kill somebody accidentally, there's still a price to pay.
There's still a price to pay. I mean, you maybe took somebody's father, somebody's brother, somebody's husband, somebody intricate in the community. You don't just walk away scot-free. You took a life. It costs a life. That means you forfeit your life in a sense. You forfeit your life in a community. You don't walk around and enjoy the benefits of your life in your community with your wife, your friends, your children. You got to get your ass to the sanctuary city, okay? I mean, that ought to be good for you because your accident, I don't care, is an accident. You accidentally took somebody away. And I'm going to tell you something, man. Let me tell y'all something right now. Let me make it clear to you. If a woman accidentally killed my wife in our land, if I'm not the blood avenger, I don't care if she made a mistake. I ain't have no fun with my wife no more. I ain't talking to my wife no more. My wife is dead, and she dead no matter if it was delivered or dead or actually she dead. I can't get the benefits of my wife. Believe you me, if I'm not the blood avenger, I'm sticking one on her in the family. I'm sending one of my nephews, one of my cousins, and I want her. I want her dead. If they can get her before she get to a sanctuary city, I'm cool with it. But she better be the maidens to the sanctuary city before I send one of them blood avengers after. Because it's something serious, man. She has to forfeit her right, even though she didn't do it by intention, but it took something from me. I can't get nothing out of the situation. My wife dead. Even though it was an accident, she's still dead. I can't get nothing out of it. So I got to have blood vengeance. I got to send an avenger. I got to call one of my nephews, one of my cousins, one of my brothers. Hey, man, I want you to go get her. Handle that. Okay? And see, that'll make us more responsible of what we're doing. Not take these things for granted, what we're doing, and be mindful of what you're doing.
In everyday life.
You see, we need to be like that. See, we are very unmindful people. We take life for granted here in captivity. We have little regard for our lives or anyone else's life for that. But in our land, oh, man, that ain't going to fly, baby. I'm just keeping it real.
That's why so many people get killed in car accidents.
Exactly.
They're not over by car, hit and run.
Right.
No, you just can't hit and run.
Yeah.
Let me find out you killed somebody in my family.
Yeah, you better hit and run. Yeah. You better be hitting and running right to the sanctuary city. That's the only running that's going to work for you if you're innocent, if you did it unwittingly. If you didn't do it intentionally, That's the only thing going to work for you. I love that. I love that better than I like what they got going on in captivity, Cottrell, where a joker can kill my wife, do 5 years, and get out and act like his life goes on. No, it doesn't work like that. You can kill my wife, and you spend 5 years in prison, and you can go back home, enjoy the benefits of your family. No, I like our way better than I like their way. Are they
well, it's God's way, and he shows how much value he puts on life,
human life
that he created.
Exactly. So I like Yah's way better than I like their way. Where somebody can kill my daddy or kill one of my cousins or one of my nieces or nephews and then do it deliberately and go and sit in prison for 20 years, then get out, then go live that life. No. I like Yah's way better. A life for a life. If you kill my nephew, my niece, my brother, my sister, my mother, you did it deliberately, I got to hate you.
And think about this.
Yeah.
When the manslayer has to run to the city of refuge, right?
Exactly.
Where's he running to? He's running to the Levites.
Yeah, the
and he
Levites.
Has to stay amongst the Levites.
Right.
And the
yes.
Levites are the closest Israelites to the Most High God.
Exactly. Because the Levites run those sanctuary cities. The Levites,
exactly.
Our priests, and the priest workers, they run those communities.
So you're talking about restoration of your soul and your spirit and your being. These men, the Levites, who control these sanctuary cities, were the immediate servants of Yah.
Exactly.
If you kill somebody accidentally, you had to spend the rest of your life amongst these men.
And these were good men. I mean, you had it better than my folk, man. Your folk dead. You got it better than my folk. Ain't nothing for you to be crying about. I can't be my wife. I can't be my daughter. Well, look here, at least you alive. Okay.
No, your wife may move to the city of refuge with you.
Well, she better get to moving then. That's the only thing I can tell you. Okay,
there's no restrictions on her moving to the city of refuge. Which
you got it better than me. My wife still did. But that's to take the seriousness of death in our community. The Most High is serious about the taking of life, either intentionally or unintentional. But let us go
so
on.
So you're in the city of refuge, you're not connected with your land.
Exactly.
Your heritage that the Most High gave you.
Yeah, we got to pick up the speed, Cadre. We still in this. We done went 1 hour almost. All right. Otherwise, the blood is bending for soon and is in hot anger. Okay. And when verse 8, and when Yah your Elohim enlarged your territory, because we had just started taking over our territory, and it says, because we have first, you can start these three cities. He was looking out for us, even then at the beginning of us acquiring our community, our territory. He said, as Yah enlarged your territory, as he swore your founding fathers, those I found, Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub, and give you all the land that he promised to give your fathers, your founding fathers, those are I found, not Jefferson and Lincoln, that's their founding father. These are our
40
founding.
40 acres and a mule.
Yeah. Now, say that again.
40 acres and a mule.
Oh, man, they gave us 40 acres and a mule. What else you think they're going to give us? They ain't gave us that yet. So let's focus on what we need to focus on, Cartier, because if them folks give us 40 acres of mule, I'd fall over dead. And that ain't going to happen. If you
we wouldn't know what to do with 40 acres and a mule. Huh?
Yeah, some of us will be racing the mule upside down the community, man, in the hood.
The mule will be kicking us in the face because we don't know what to do with
it. Hey, bro. Let's keep it real. Some of you have mule races in the hood. Hey, man, I never want to race your mule. Come on, man. Let's keep it real.
I'll be asking what I'm going to do with 40 acres and a mule.
Yeah, they be scared. They be scared to cultivate the land or anything.
You can feed yourself, your family, and other people with 40 acres and a
That's
mule.
That's a lot of land, brother. But because we have been miseducated. We don't see the value of that country, unfortunately. But unlike our founding fathers, they knew the value of land. They knew that you could subsist off your land, that you could feed yourself, not only yourself, but your family, your community.
Isn't that how Jacob got rich?
Exactly.
His father-in-law Laban.
Exactly. Off
the
land.
He was a number of farmers.
Exactly.
Matter of fact, he had enough to give his brother Esau. It's like, damn, how much did he give his brother?
Exactly. Gave him
a
whole lot.
Go back and read it. How much did he give Esau?
Exactly. If you faithfully observe the instruction that I enjoin upon you this day to love Yahweh Elohim and to walk, mean to live in his ways at all times, then you shall add, once you got all your territory, you just get your territory, then you should add three more towns to those three. Then you have six sanctuary cities. Thus blood of the innocent would not be shed, bringing blood guilt upon you in the land that Yahweh Elohim is allotting you.
If the blood would not be shed?
The blood of the innocent would not be shed.
Because we would be so careful not to kill anybody by accident, we have to live the rest of our life in a city of refuge.
Exactly. It'll make everybody responsible for their actions.
Exactly.
And not be negligent.
That's right.
If, however, a person is the enemy of another, lies in wait for him, you got premeditation in your mind, and set upon him and strike him a fatal blow, and then feeds to one of these towns, the heirs, what I tell you, of his town shall have him brought back from there. The elders of his town where he running away from shall have him brought back from one of those sanctuary cities. Shall, and they shall hand him over to the blood avenger. You must show him no pity, just like he showed taking the life of someone premeditation, no pity. Thus you will purge Israel of the blood of the innocent. Because if you don't, you'll let the blood guilt saturate the land. You got to keep the land clean of this innocent, and it will go well with you.
That's why.
See, we're connected.
Right. Blood calls for blood.
Right. And we're connected with our land. And if you let a whole lot of murders going on, just like in this country, the land cries out. And there's violence in the land, just like in this country, and any other country that doesn't follow Yah's mandate. So in all these countries that are existing today, they have a lot of violence, Katriel, because there's a lot of innocent blood been spilled and by murderous people. And it is a continuation process. In our land, it was much more peaceful, much more easygoing, because everybody knew if you take somebody's life, you ain't going to sit in prison for 20 years eating bun buns and cupcakes and watching reality stuff. Okay? You're going to be dealt with immediately, because the elders in your community are going to make sure you're handed over to the blood of vengeance. So you're going to take life cheaply. You should not move your countrymen's landmark set up by previous generation in the property that would be allotted to you in the land that Yahweh Elohim is giving you. You must not try to steal your brother's land, your neighbor's. And here's what I like about this country, about our judicial system. A single witness may not validate against a person any guilt or blame. A single witness can't come and say, Yom Suf, stole my money, Cartrell. Well, Cartrell would say, okay, you saying Yom Suf stole your money. Is any other witness? No, I'm just saying that what he did. Cartrell had to tell him, man, we can't bring Yom Suf for the court. You got to, because you could have and against Yom Suf. No, man, ain't no. You got to have just more than your word only. I mean, there's a lot of people in prison right now, Cartrell, as I speak, in different nations. By the faulty judicial system of one witness. You got a lot of people right now, as I speak, in prison system all over the universe because of one witness. And that witness could have anger against that person.
You know, it happened to me in high school.
Oh, it did?
Yeah. I was the scorekeeper for the high school basketball team, right?
Okay.
And one of the players on the team said he gave me $12 to hold for him.
Right.
He never did.
Right.
And accused me of stealing his money.
Right.
So, like, the next day in school, he saw me in the hallway. He's like, where's my $12? I'm like, yeah, $12 what? He's like, I gave you $12 to hold. It wasn't me. And this dude punched me in my face, man.
For real?
Yeah, he punched me right in my jaw.
On a lie.
He was lying.
Right. And that goes to show you people do, we'll lie. And there's a lot of innocent people locked up now based on a lie of one individual as a witness. And that's the wrong way on any crime as far as our judicial system is concerned. Because y'all knows human nature that people can and will and do lie on individuals. So that's why it had to be more than two witnesses to witness, because otherwise that wasn't going to go forward, okay? I'm sorry you got punched in the face, Kytrell.
But it's amazing because it didn't hurt me.
It did?
And he was shocked that it didn't shake me. But the reason I punched him back because the dean was walking down the hallway and he saw both of us.
Oh, otherwise.
So if I had responded and retaliated, we'd have both got suspended.
Oh, okay. All right. Smart man. Time and place for everything. You should not. Right. It's giving you. A single witness may not validate against a person any guilt or blame for any offense that may be committed. A case can
your
be
word valid, against my word.
Right. A case can be valid only on the testimony of two witnesses. I love our judicial system. Or more. If a man appears against another to testify maliciously and give false testimony against him, the two parties to the dispute shall appear before Yah, before the priest or the magistrate in authority at the time. And the magistrate shall make a thorough investigation. If the man who testified is a false witness, if he has testified falsely against his fellow, his brother, or sister, you shall bring him as you shall do to him or her as he schemed to do to his fellow. Whatever he was trying to do to them, or get out of them, you got to do it to them. Thus you will sweep out evil from your midst. Another will hear and be afraid. They won't do it. They won't scheme and plot and plan. Such evil things will not again be done in your midst. Cause and effect. Nor must you show pity. Life for life. Eye for eye. Tooth for a tooth. Hand for a hand. And foot for a foot. Because I'm going to tell you why. That'll stop a whole lot of nonsense right there, Cartrell. That'll stop a whole lot of irresponsibility. That'll stop a whole lot of scheming and carrying on and whatnot. See, that'll put the rest. See, you can live a lot peaceful in the land. I ain't talking about this land. In your own land. Without all this scheming and whatnot. Somebody trying to put something on you, try to get something out of you. Because when a third investigation is made to find out you're a schemer, whatever you trying to get out of him, they got to do it to you. If you were trying to get Yum Su flogged in the public, they got to put a flogging on you. I love our judicial system. Now, some of y'all may think that's harsh. But I think it's less harsh than locking you up for 20 years. I think you trying to get me whooped. I think they ought to beat the brakes off you. And then we ain't got to take care of you in prison. And then you can go back to your home with your beat up butt. I think that's pretty good, Cartrell. Truth be told. What's your commentary, Cartrell?
What happens when you don't have your system in effect?
Look around. Look around. You'll see what happens. Chaos,
okay.
Confusion, bribery, indifference. It don't matter. You know, we just
serial killing, serial raping, serial murderers.
No, rapists, serial killers. Oh, hell no, man. They won't be living in no prison eating no bun buns and cupcake watching reality show. That has to be dead like they all be dead. Dead, dead, dead. Double dead. Okay?
and you're going around hurting people?
Yeah, you're going around raping and killing little children. Yeah, you're going around raping and killing little children and think you're going to sit in our prison system for 50 years getting fat, eating high on the hog, and then think you're going to get away. No, hell no. You going to be dead, 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 and double dead. A whole lot of families going to be after your evil ass, okay? It ain't no
sanctuary. Not only are you going to be dead, you're going to be an example for the whole community because everybody's going to see your retribution, your karma, your punishment.
This ain't how we do it. This ain't what we do, baby. You can't do like this. You ain't going to be sitting in prison and talking
about anybody is thinking about what you've done and what you did, if they're thinking about following your path, this is the end result of the path if you want to follow him. So ain't nobody going to follow his path.
But country out there, the serial killers and the white killers and the women rapers and the girls, they don't care. They know. Hey, man, they catch me. They'll give me life sentence. I'd sit around and eat cupcakes my life. No, that ain't how they think here.
Do you remember the Son of Sam?
Yeah, I remember that nut.
New York City killing young couples.
I remember that nut.
He didn't go to jail. You know he didn't go to jail? You know where he went?
Where he went?
To a psychiatric hospital.
Oh, yeah, well, see, if he was in our land, he could be buried in a psychiatric but his ass would be in a
psychiatric hospital.
That's why I love the way y'all does things. See, he wouldn't have been in that hospital and talking about, you know, I was feeling some sort of way. No, the only way you're going to feel when a blood avenger comes is that blade going in your ass. Okay? You feeling some sort of way. You done killed 20 folk, and now they got you in a psychiatric hospital, and you sitting up there watching TV and eating some sort of cupcake.
McDonald's and Burger King and Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Oh, no, my brother. No, my brother, that is not going to work.
Talking about a dog or a demon or something for you. Okay.
Right.
We're going to put you in a grave so you can talk even more with him.
Yeah, a dog was speaking to you. Okay, whatever. All right, contrary fellow students, let's move on. You done with your commentary, Cottrell? Because we're getting way behind today. We're moving mighty slow. We're going to pick up the pace in order for you to get your segment of study in. When you take the field again, you know the way I like, y'all don't leave nothing for chance or happenstance in the playbook. He tells us when we take the field in battle. You know, and we do this now. Some of these things we do now. And I'm going to tell you what they are when I get to them. When you take the field against your enemies and you see horses and chariots, forces larger than yours, have no fear of them. For Yah, your Elohim, has brought you from the land of misery, is with you. Before you join battle, here's what must be go on before you join battle. The Levite priest shall come forward and address the troops. The Levite priest, I said, he should say to the troops, Oh, hear, O Israel. You are about to join battle with your enemy. Let not your courage falter. Do not be in fear or in panic or in dread of them. For it is Yah, your Elohim, who marches with you to do battle with you against your enemy to bring you victory. Then the officials shall address the troop as follows. The officials, the governmental officials. Is there anyone who has built a new house but has not dedicated it? Let him go back to his home, lest he die in battle and another dedicate it. Is there anyone here who has planted a vineyard but has not harvested? Let him go back to his home, lest he die in battle, and another harvest. Is there anyone who has paid the bride price for a wife, but has not yet married her? Let him go back to his home. At least he died in battle. And another marry her. The officials are going on addressing the troops and said, is there anyone afraid or disheartened? Let him go back to his home. Least the courage of his comrades flag like here. Least he become contagious. When the officials had finished addressing the troops, the army commanders shall address the command of the troops. And here's what they should say to them.
So Yamsu.
Yes.
They didn't give you those options in the Marines, did they?
Man, hell no. You better get on out there. But see, I like this system better. This system is fair, it's equitable, and it's humanitarian. One of those who was stalwart of heart and ready to do battle did battle. If you had any of your homes, your vineyards, you had to take them, you had a new bride. You had a woman that you were going to get married to. You didn't have that opportunity. Your mind is straight.
So you didn't have to make up excuses like you had bone spurs to avoid the Vietnam War.
No, you didn't have to make bone spurs excuses. Unlike some folks I've heard about.
But the most I gave you the option. If you're afraid, and some people are afraid to go to war. I'm 20 years old, but I'm not a warrior. I'm an artist. I'm a musician. I'm not a freaking warrior.
Right.
And the Most High gave you that leeway. If you're not a warrior and you're afraid, don't come, because your fear will be put into other people. Because fear is contagious.
Right. And here's what the commanders of the troops says to them. When you approach a town to attack it, you shall offer it terms of peace. If it responds peacefully and let you in, all the people present there shall serve you as forced labor. If it does not surrender to you and will join battle with you, you shall lay siege to it. And when Yahyo Elohim delivers it into your hand, you shall put all of his males to the sword. You don't want a recurrence. You may, however, booty the women, the children, the livestock, and everything in the town, all of its spoils, and enjoy the use of the spoil of your enemy, which Yahyo Elohim gives you. Specific military campaign from Yah. Thus you should deal with all towns that lie very far from your town. This is how you should deal with all towns that lie very far from your town. That's how you deal with them. That do not belong to nation here, but they're close by you. But in the towns of the latter people, however, which Yahyo Elohim is giving you as a heritage, you should not let a soul remain alive. In the towns round about you, now in the towns at a distance way from you, you can do it like that. But in the towns that's round about you, that's close by you, there are other means in order to, because you don't want a reoccurrence. You should not let a soul remain alive, nor must you prescribe them. And it tells you who they are. The Hittites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites. Those are the ones that you annihilate, as Yahyo Elohim has commanded you. Least they lead you to doing all the abhorrent things they have done for their gods. If you don't get rid of them and you stand guilty before Yahyo Elohim, when in your war against the city, you have to besiege it a long time in order to capture it. He tells you, because the Most High cares about what we call the ecology. He tells you, as far as the ecology is concerned, you must not destroy its trees, rather than acts against them. You may eat of them, but you must not cut them down. Are trees of the fields human? They're not humans to withdraw before you. They can't run away from you, city. Only trees that do not yield fruit, food, may be destroyed. But you don't destroy trees that just like other nations do. You may cut them down for constructing siege work against a city that is waging war on you until it is reduced. The Most High cares about ecology. He cares about nature. And he looked out for the nation. He said, them trees can't run from you. Them trees ain't got nothing to do with it. Trees that can't bear fruit and doesn't feed the community, birds and animals and whatnot, you don't destroy them. But you do, you can use trees that don't bring forth food. Not only for you, for animals, birds and whatnot. So the Most High was cognizant of nature also.
But how important are trees to us?
We use them for food. And
more than
heat,
that.
Heat
more
and
than
warmth
that.
And for housing. Yeah.
More than that.
And okay,
trees give us oxygen.
Exactly. Okay, yeah. Exactly. I'm glad you made that point. And the Most High knew that. The Most High knew that.
So trees are not inanimate objects. Trees are essential to us living. And you said it.
Exactly.
We get food from trees. We get
right.
Shelter from trees. We get heat from trees. We get paper from trees. So many untold things we get from trees.
A whole lot, man. And then some. And the Most High knew this. And he made that statement. The statement he made, you know, them trees can't run and hide behind a town.
So even though trees are solitary in a single place, they are just as valuable as animals.
Exactly. So the most I cared about nature and wanted you to respect nature, because there's an interrelationship with nature, and the Most High knew that.
So we should be outraged that they're cutting down the Amazon and all the forests on planet Earth.
I am, Cartrell, when I hear about things of that nature.
Oh, yeah?
I am outraged. And we should be. All right. Well, Cartrell, if you're done with your commentary, brother, let's move right along, shall we?
You finished that chapter?
Yeah, we're done, bro. We're done.
So it's important that we pay attention to most of our specific instructions for us in our
exactly.
lives. Because our people are easily influenced by other people and what they're doing. We're so interested in people, what they're doing, instead of what the Most High told us what to do, right?
Exactly.
That'd be the topic of our conversation. What they're doing, what they did, how they're treating us, what they're going to do next. And we never talk about what we're going to do next. So we are reactive people, and we need to be proactive in the word of Yah. So this next phase of the study that we're going through.
Well, you know what,
Go ahead.
If I may interrupt you, and I do apologize. One thing while you were talking, and they said about controversial, what is that word? A person that is a kind of conservative.
Controversial.
Not controversial. You know the person that helps conserve the land. What is that name that helps protect the land? A
conservationist.
Conservationist. And Yah is the first conservationist. And if Yah sees the value of the land and trees and animals and whatnot, shouldn't we fall in suit and be conservationists as y'all is and value them as much as y'all does? We should be concerned about the earth and the animals and the water and so on and so forth. And stop being just narrow-minded. We should be leaders in that effort. Not other nations. We should be. Because y'all was conservationists. We should be one also. Go ahead, Katja. I'm sorry, brother.
Yes, sir. You're right on point. Because Yah created the heavens, and he gave dominion to man over the earth to be the husbandman, to take care of, power over all living things on the earth. And yet we've destroyed everything on earth, which is why he brought the flood in Noah's time, and he's going to bring judgment on the earth in the latter days. Because we're supposed to be the caretakers of this creation so wonderful and beautiful that he has created, and have dominion over the beast of the field, over the fowl of the air and the fish of the sea. Because think about it. Lions, bears, tigers, they got claws, they got fangs, they're faster. Why don't they dominate us? We don't have claws, we don't have fangs, we don't have fur. Yet, Yah gives us dominion over them, which he said he would do. Right?
Exactly.
You ain't as big as a bear, strong as a bear, fast as a bear. You ain't got the weapons a bear got.
Exactly.
But a bear fears you. Why does a bear fear man? Only because Yah gave man dominion over the bear, over the tiger, over the lion, over the fish of the sea. Right?
Exactly. That's
the only reason. So, you can call it what you want, but we're supposed to be caretakers of the earth, not destroying it. And because of the fact that we follow the Europeans, who are the destroyers of the earth, the people of the earth, the life in the earth, they go out hunting just to kill.
Yeah.
And they've put many animals on the extinction list.
Exactly.
They're not in harmony with Yah's creation. And we follow them rather than follow Yah.
Exactly.
So we wonder why we get plagues and famine and starvation and disease and sickness. It's because we're not in harmony with Yah's creation.
Exactly.
So spiritually, we need to be in tune with Yah in order to know how to have dominion over the earth, Yah's creation. So we're reading Psalms 141, another psalm of King David. So we give thanks and praise to the reading of these words, our King David, his appeal to our Creator, the Holy One of Israel, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So these are the words of King David. He says, Yah, I have called you. Come to me quickly. Listen to my plea when I call to you. Let my prayer be like incense set before you. My uplifted hands like an evening sacrifice. Set a guard, Yah, over my mouth. Keep watch at the door of my lips. Do not let my heart turn to anything evil or allow me to act wickedly with men who are evildoers. Keep me from eating their delicacies. You know we could fall into that trap. There's a lot of wicked people, evil men. When I was growing up, I seen gangsters in my neighborhood, drug dealers, numbers runners, dudes that was on the left side, had money in their pocket, and they trying to influence young brothers. But no,
right.
I don't want none of your delicacies. I don't want to ride around in your big car. I don't want to wear none of your clothes. I'm not trying to be like you. But some people are enticed.
Mm-hmm.
Young people are enticed, and they fall into that trap.
Right.
Let the righteous strike me. Let him correct me. It will be an act of love. That's a tremendous statement. Because we don't like to be struck. Nor do we like to be corrected, whether it's right or wrong. But somebody that's looking for correction, they call it tough love. I'm going to strike you. Yo, I'm going to smack in your head. Yo, you walking the wrong path. Nah, you can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
And you may think I'm being harsh, but it's an act of love because I love you and I don't want to see you destroy yourself. And that's what they call tough love. And that's what my mother and father gave me, tough love. Because they struck me with the belt and with the stick. That was acts of love in order to correct me.
Right.
And your friend should do that too. And you shouldn't take it personally because your friend may strike you. And you might take it the wrong way. But they were trying to set you in the right path. Right?
Exactly. Exactly.
Let my head not refuse such choice oil, for I will keep on praying about their wickedness. When their rules are thrown down from the cliff, the wicked will hear that my words are fitting. And when one plows and breaks the ground into clods, our bones are strewn at the mouth of Sheol. For my eyes, Yah, are on you. In you I take refuge. Don't pull out my life. Keep me from the trap they have set for me, from the snares of evildoers. Let the wicked fall into their own nets. While I pass by in safety. Because there's many traps, many pitfalls for our people to take us away from the Most High. And we pray that the Most High let the wicked fall into their own nets and traps that they've set for us while we pass by safely.
Exactly. Well,
praise Yah. Hallelujah.
Well, Cadreo, do you have any commentaries at the conclusion of the show?
Well, we see that King David constantly called upon the Most High. He wasn't looking to his friends. He wasn't looking to his family. Anytime he had trouble, he always poured out his heart to the Most High. And this is a lesson that we all need to learn. Your mother, father can't help you. Your sister, brother, your husband, your wife can't help you. You need to learn how to call on the Most High. We need to learn how to call on the Most High first, like our King, King David. And the Most High hears our plea. As a matter of fact, when we all pleaded to him, when we was locked down in Egypt, the Most High heard us, not individually, but collectively. And I know that our people are hard-headed, stiff-necked, and it takes us being backed against the wall and all that pressure put on us in order for us to call out to the Most High. But we should do that before the pressure comes out upon us and be like our King, King David, because we're in trouble. And we need to be crying out as a people, as one, to the Most High like our King, King David, which is why we're going over these prayers and these scriptures, because we need to set these patterns in our heart as a nation, as a people, and to have it in our children too, that the Most High answers us when we're in trouble. Because he chose us to be his people, and he hears us when we call. So, for me, I've always followed the pattern of King David, and as a result, the Most High has blessed me. So, that's my secret to you. I've been following the pattern of King David, studying the Psalms and the Proverbs all my life through my trials and tribulations, and each and every time, the Most High has brought me through by following the pattern of King David.
Well, thank you, Gontrell, and that would be my advice to you, too. Follow the path of King Dawood and love and study the playbook, basically part of the playbook, and learn the playbook. Then you become part of your nature, second nature team. So you look for the answers, have the right answers at the right time. That's why we study the playbook. Well, Cartridge L and I, we don't know where y'all think y'all going, but we know this for a fact. You're fitting to get ready to get out of here. You've been listening to the Real Talk for Real People Study Show, a show that is designed to give you a bird's eye view of the who, what, when, where, and a how, as far as the Most High is concerned, in every aspect of your life, the playbook. Well, get you a new thinker so you can understand the playbook and apply the playbook. King Dawood, your king, my king, understood that. You need a new perspective. You need a new playbook. And, well, you don't need a new playbook. You need a new perspective, a new mind. Want to love Yah with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself, the third step to righteousness. And that's the kind of mind you need to understand this playbook. We suggest that you get one. May the Most High bless you. We love you. And direct and order your steps. Shalom and good night.
I blow it out, it just won't stay in my mouth.